What strikes me about Justine's story is also the fact that if you Google her name today, this story covers the first 100 pages of Google results. There is nothing else about her. In your book, you mention another story of another victim who actually got taken on by a reputation management firm. And by creating blogs and posting nice, innocuous stories about her love for cats and holidays and these kind of things, they managed to get to the story off the first couple of pages of Google result. But it didn't last long. Like a couple of weeks later, they started creeping back up to the top result. Is this a totally lost battle?
You know, I think the very best thing we can do if you see a kind of, an unfair or an ambiguous shaming is to speak up. Because I think the worst thing that happened to Justine was that nobody supported her, like everyone was against her. That is profoundly traumatizing, to be told by tens of thousands of people that you need to get out. But if a shaming happens, then there's like a babble of voices, like in a democracy, when people are discussing it. I think that's much less damaging. So, I think that's the way forward. But it's hard, because if you do stand up for somebody, it's incredibly unpleasant.
Okay, so let's talk about your experience, because you stood up while writing this book. By the way, it's mandatory reading for everybody, okay? You stood up because the book actually puts the spotlight on shamers. Yeah. And I assume you didn't only have friendly reactions on Twitter.
It didn't go down that well with some people. I mean, lots of, you don't want to sort of just concentrate, because, lots of people, understood and were really nice about the book and so on. But yeah, I mean, for 30 years, I've been writing stories about abuses of power. And when I say, the powerful people over there in the military or in the pharmaceutical industry, everybody applauds me. As soon as I say, we are the powerful people abusing our power now, I get people saying, well, you must be a racist too.